my devotions and exercise a little bit. And it wasn't 5-10 minutes later, my wife comes downstairs. She's like, we got to go to the stores and beat everybody to the stores. And this is like, I don't know, I think she was down there at like 5 o'clock in the morning. She's like, we got to go now. And so we were hustling and bustling to try and get to the stores and get back. And I was very thankful because there weren't many people in the stores at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that was kind of nice. But gifts, why do we give gifts? You know, what's the purpose? What's the point? Well, first of all, why do we give gifts? Let's be honest. As the church was expanding and spreading out, they took in, as they were converting people, they took some of their traditions and the things that they had done, and they kind of made them, they Christianized them a little bit. And so if you look at, I was reading, according to a guy by the name of James Cooper, he said, a lot of the origins of the gifts and what people look back to was they said, well, the wise men gave gifts to the Christ child. And so the church said, to remember the gifts the wise men gave to the Christ child, we give gifts. And to remember that Jesus Christ was the perfect gift. So as we look at that, I think the first thing, you've probably heard this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time because that's not the main point of my message. And according to this guy, James Cooper, that I looked up, it says frankincense was one of the gifts given by the wise men. It was a perfume used to show that people would worship Jesus. Gold is a precious gift that would show the deity and royalty of Jesus Christ. And myrrh was a perfume that was put on dead bodies, foretelling Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And probably if you've been to church many times on Christmases and Christmas Eve services, you've heard that before. And I know I've heard that before. But I just kind of wanted to start there because I wanted to talk about how Jesus Christ was the greatest gift. And all over the world, the traditions are a little bit different. But the first thing I'd like us to think about is who gave us this gift? I said in John chapter 1, that gift came from and was given to us by God the Father, as he gave the world the gift of his perfect Son, who decided to step off of his throne and come down to this world, born of a virgin, to die for our sins. And so as we look around the world, just kind of some neat things that as I was looking and I was reading, I found some things out. In the United States, we talk about how the person that delivers the gift is Santa Claus, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I did some gift delivering this weekend, and I was bouncing here, there, and everywhere. Being Santa Claus sounds tiring. But anyways, in some other places in the world, it's not just Santa Claus. And I learned this. I thought this was kind of neat. In Germany, they believe that it's Christ the King who delivers gifts to people. And that's what they talk about, and that's who they use. In Spain, they say it's the wise men. And I thought, oh, okay, that sounds nice. In place of Santa Claus, you can talk about the wise men. And then in Italy, and this is the one that got me, and I never heard anything like this before, and this was weird, and maybe you've heard it before, but this was the first time that I had read anything like this. In Italy, instead of Santa Claus, they have an old lady called Befana, and she kind of looks like a witch delivering presents around. That's a picture that I got. Oh. That's even more terrifying than Santa Claus coming down your chimney. But that's just kind of something to get us thinking about the Christ as the gift. And today, this morning, I'm going to talk about why Jesus Christ is the superior gift. And God is the superior gift giver. Some other neat things that I learned is that the gifts are left in different places. In Europe, they're left in shoes. I gave my daughter a gift this morning, and it would not have fit in a shoe, but I could only imagine. And so that kind of led us to, that's why we do stockings. And so I learned some interesting things. Then you think about gifts, and when you think about a song about gift giving, We went and did Christmas caroling on Friday night, and I had a great time, and love for you to get a chance to go with us next year. I had planned a couple of different routes, and we took one route, and I know it could have been a blessing for people to go to different places. We had many more people that I would have liked to have gone see, but we had a great time. We took a little girl with us, and she was like, can we sing? You know, I had a list of songs that I kind of wanted to sing, one that people know, and every time I knew a song we could sing, we could sing Jingle Bells, and then we could sing the 12 Days of Christmas. And I thought to myself, if we sang the 12 Days of Christmas at every place we went to carol, we'd be up all night, right? So, but think about the gifts that were given in that. Somebody, as I was reading, you know, and kind of looking at stuff, I found something. There's a guy, Greg Laurie. He said, the 12 Days of Christmas, it would cost $15,000 to give all the gifts of the 12 Days of Christmas. And as I was reading this, I said, okay, I'm glad he went out and did that. But how do you come up with a price for the cost of 12 loads of leaping? I don't know. Can you look at that on Amazon or something like that, or eBay? I don't know. How much does it cost for 12 loads of leaping? That's the question I want to ask him. But the most precious gift is Jesus Christ. And what I did is, as I was looking at this, I said, what makes a good gift? How do you figure out what a great gift is? And so I went to somebody who had done some research. He said, read this article if you want to know how to get your spouse, your loved one, your friend, somebody you know, if you want to get them the best gift, here's what I, as a psychologist, have decided and went around and did some research on what the best gift is. And he had these things, and I said, yeah, if you look at that, Jesus Christ would be the ultimate gift. But I don't need some psychologist to tell me that. Yes, Jesus Christ absolutely meets the criteria. But knowing what he's done in my heart and seeing what he's done in your hearts and lives, those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the greatest gift that the world has ever been given is Jesus Christ. Amen. But today I just kind of want to reaffirm that, and I went and looked at this article on Psychology Today, and where they said, what is the greatest gift? And today what I want to do with you is I want to look at seven things, seven ways to decide what the greatest gift is. And maybe if you haven't gotten a gift for someone, and tomorrow you're going to go out shop, maybe you haven't gotten a gift for anyone yet, and you're, I don't know, tomorrow maybe you're going to do a lot of shopping, maybe you could use these seven things to try and pick out a special gift for a special someone. But let's open in prayer before we look at Jesus Christ as the greatest gift. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we've opened this morning, we've already come to the conclusion, those of us who know you, that the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest gift that the world has ever seen. And Lord, we're just going to prove it to ourselves once again. And I pray that, Lord, if there's someone here today who hasn't received the gift of your Son, hasn't accepted that free gift, that they might hear that you are a gift worth accepting, and that you might help them to trust you and to believe in you today before they leave here. Bless us today as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever received a gift and gone, I don't know if this is for me? And it's kind of maybe sat on a shelf. And I know it was either a year or two ago, I got a candle. And I should have just taken it right to my wife. But it has sat on my shelf at school for a while. Just because I don't generally burn candles. I mean, I like it when they smell nice and everything, but it's just sat there. And I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, it's collecting a little bit of dust. And when I saw the candle, I was like, oh, that's a nice candle. And I smelled it, and But then it just kind of sat there. And sometimes you get gifts that you get it, you open it, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. And you use it every day. It makes a big difference in your life. And it really is just a gift that you never forget. And I think when you get a gift for someone, and I'll tell you the truth, ladies are so much better at this than men. Because they think about it, and they plan, and they try to think about what's the best thing to do, and what's the best gift to get. You really want that person to see that gift and go, wow, that was special. They were thinking about me and everything. So this guy said, if you got someone special in your life, and you want to get them a good gift, here are seven principles to getting a good gift and something and ways to find an awesome gift. So, and I know a lot of you guys that have experience with this and stuff, you've been putting a lot of these things into practice. I look around and I see a bunch of young men, and you guys someday are going to begin. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Ken. You're going to be looking to get a gift for a special lady someday. Use what God did when he gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And we can look at some of these things. The first thing that we think about, and I'm going to put these up in just a minute, but as we think about this, the first thing that they said, it's a gift that has been expected for a while. And I was like, wow, that's kind of neat, an expectant gift. So they used the example of a lady who has been waiting for a guy to pop the question. And she's been waiting for that diamond ring. And she's been expecting it for some time. And then can't you picture the situation where here's this lady in this special day, and he's got the romantic dinner, and he gets down on one knee, and she pulls out that ring that she has been waiting for. And she knows it's coming, but this is what she's wanted, and since she's decided that this was the guy, this is what she's been waiting for, and she knows it's coming, and she's kind of got it in the mind that this is going to be a gift that's going to come, and she just, her face turns red, she goes, oh my goodness, I can't believe it, and she, yes, yes, yes. That's a pretty special gift, one that you've been waiting for and wanting and has meant something for you for a long time, that expected gift. Now, have you ever seen it where it's gone the other way? She wasn't expecting it. She, this isn't the guy. And she runs out. Every once in a while, they'll put that on the news or something, where some guy will pop the question at a football game, and she wasn't ready for it, and she says no and runs out the door. And oh, boy, that's the exact opposite. But when we think about Jesus Christ, he was an expectant gift. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. The gift that was promised, or something that you have waited for. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth his son, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And as I look at this passage, I say, you know, Jesus Christ was the greatest gift, because it was something that the world had been craving, desiring, and needing to come into this world. And at the fullness of time, when it was just the perfect right time, God wanted us all to become a part of his family. As a matter of fact, the Bible compares the relationship of Jesus Christ with the church to him being the groom and to the church being the bride. And when Jesus Christ came at the fullness of time, the expected gift, it's like he was proposing to the church and giving them a diamond ring and part of the family and just a special relationship. Jesus Christ coming to this earth was an expected gift, a gift that the world was longing for and crying out for. The second gift, the second thing that I saw about the best gift or the gift that you could use is it's a needed gift, a gift that meets a need. Why, you know, you think about it, sometimes you get gifts and maybe you don't need them. Think about a kid that I know my child wanted something over and over. You know, she wanted something, so she began to get a collection. Think about like teddy bears or a doll or something. If you have 50, 60 teddy bears, you get one more, okay, that's nice, but a gift that you really need, something that you're going to have, is going to meet the need, and something that is going to fulfill a need. Well, Jesus Christ was what the world really needed. And let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, it says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So as we look at this passage, it says, God knows what you need to get through the day. He knows what you need to get through tomorrow. He'll take care of your many needs that you have. But your greatest need, the thing that you need to be longing for and wanting the most, is the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ came to this earth to pass the kingdom of God on to us. So not only is it an expectant gift, it is a needed gift, it is also a useful gift. And so let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I remember getting that candle that I talked about a little bit earlier, pulling it out, and I'm going, "Oh, that's a nice candle." I remember smelling it, but I just don't use candles, and so I set it off. But what I should have done is just taken it home to Michelle, and she would have burned it and used it and everything. But it just sat there on my desk. That's all it's done. I should use it, but I haven't. But a great gift is a gift that you'll use. And so it's one that you've been expecting, one that you need, and one that is useful, one that you're going to use every day. And this is the gift of Jesus Christ was a very useful gift. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And so when God sent his Son to this earth to live amongst us, to teach us the word of God, and to ultimately shed his blood on the cross and pay for our salvation, and rising again to finish the work, he gave us a gift that we can put to use, and a gift that is useful for all mankind. The next thing, as we look at this, we got an expectant gift, a needed gift, a useful gift. Next one is a wanted gift. Now, I got to tell you a story about when we were getting ready to have our son. My mother thought it would be funny, hilarious, to take a package of diapers and wrap it up and give that to me as a Christmas gift, and have me open that in front of everybody. And I remember thinking, I was so embarrassed as I was in front of my whole family, and here I am opening this pack of diapers, and my mom thought that was hysterical, and she laughed and laughed and laughed. And I thought about that, and I said, okay. As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know what? When my mom gave me that gift, it was a useful gift. We put those diapers to good use. It was a needed gift, but right then and right there, I don't know that it was a wanted gift. And I could probably look back at it now and say, yeah, Mom, that was a good idea. You got me, and glad you had your chuckle, but I didn't feel that way in the moment. But as I think about it, have you ever gotten a gift that you wanted? And that just is like, wow, I really wanted that. It was recently I got a gift that I was planning on going out and buying, and I didn't know that I was getting that as a gift. And I thought, oh, I want to get me some of those. And next thing you know, I opened a package. That I said, that's exactly what I want. I thought that that's something that I could use. And I was that was a great gift. I really enjoyed it. And so when we think about it, a gift that's expected, needed, useful, wanted, it's hard. It would be hard to wrap this all up into one physical gift that you could get. But Jesus Christ meant all those things. Let's turn in our Bible to these references in Psalm 73 and Isaiah chapter 26. First, let's turn over our Bibles to Psalm 73. Probably you're already there. Psalm 73 in verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. And let's turn over in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. In Isaiah chapter 26 in verse 9, it says, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn your righteousness. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprighteousness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. And where it says there, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me I will seek early. Right next to that in my Bible, I wrote, yes, I do. Because I long to spend time with my Lord, to seek him out, to spend time with him, to pray, to read his word. I love that song. It's one of my favorite. And you've heard me say this before, and you'll hear me say it again. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I hope we desire the gift of Jesus Christ. Next, it's a asked for gift. A gift that you ask for. In this article that I was reading, it said the one of the best things you can do is listen to what somebody says, and if they ask for it, and you can afford it, and they want it, and they need it, and it's useful, if they're asking for it, that's probably a good indication that that'd be a good gift. So listen to people. And as we think about Jesus Christ in this world, he listened to us. He heard what mankind needed. You ever read the book of Exodus? And it says there that God heard the cries of the people and saw their affliction, and he sent a deliverer, Moses, to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. God heard what this world needed because of the sin that was destroying it. And he gave the world the gift that they were asking for. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, in verse 10, Jesus is meeting with the woman at the well. And during their conversation, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In this passage of scripture, Jesus is saying, ask me for the gift of God, and I will give you living water. I've always taken this passage of Scripture, and I said, I'd like you to think about passages of Scripture about the gift of God. And I'm sure that if I were to go around this room, I'd like you to think about that. Can you think about a verse that talks about the gift of God? And your assignment this week is, if you think, I like to give people things to do, because that way you're not just hearing it and not doing anything. If you can think about a verse about the gift of God, Jesus Christ is the gift of God, write it down, send it to me in an email, and share it with somebody else. Could you do that? You know, the Bible says, don't be hearers only, but be doers. It's a simple little task. Here it talks about the gift of God, and there's lots of verses in the Bible. Some of them you've probably known by, you know by heart. Now think about it. Is there a verse about the gift of God? Think about it. Write it down. Share it with me and share it with someone else. Love if you get an opportunity to do that. Next, not only is it an expected gift, a needed gift, a useful gift, a wanted gift, an asked for gift, but it's a gift from a loved one. So often, if you think about the source of the gift, means a lot. The source of a gift means a lot. I've probably gotten my wife a few terrible gifts, but she's probably hung on to them because they came from me. I think my wife is like 1,000 times a better gift giver and chooser than I am. She takes some time. I just go into the store and say, I think this is what they want, and grab it off the shelf and out the door. She spends some time doing it and putting some heart into it. And I'm sure she's kept some gifts just because they were from me, and probably they weren't worth very much. If they'd come from anybody else, they wouldn't have lasted as long. But this gift came from a loved one, and it was the greatest gift that the world has ever known. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 15. 1 John 15. Oh, yeah, 5. There's not a 15 in 1 John. I know that. Yeah, there's not 15. I go through usually, too, and my wife says that when I proofread stuff, I put in what it's supposed to be, even if it's wrong, as I'm looking through that, and that's true. So I probably did that here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 15. It says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And so as we look at this gift given from God, a God who loves us, who cares about us, and will hear our requests and answer them. Next, not only is this gift an expectant gift, a needed gift, a useful gift, a wanted gift, an asked for gift, a gift from a loved one, it's also a gift that costs something. A gift that costs something. And sometimes we would love to, like I was thinking about this as I was putting this together. I'd love to buy my dad a car, like a kind of car that he would like. Because every once in a while, I know my dad's a very practical guy, and he gets a car that he can afford, and a car that, but every once in a while he'll say, oh, that car was neat, and he'll just talk a little bit about it. Wouldn't we all like to get our dads a car, like a brand new car, like every year? Wouldn't that be awesome? But usually we can't do that. But sometimes a gift that means a lot, and a gift you're going to remember, it costs something. And this gift that God gave to us costs everything, right? So much. The precious gift cost his life as he paid for our sins. And in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And I know that when we think about the gift of his Son on the cross and what he gave for us, it cost Jesus Christ so much. His blood that he shed on Calvary, stepping down out of his throne to come and live amongst us. Our God did something great in giving us his Son. And my final conclusion, as I looked at this and as I looked at this list of things that make a great gift, and I hope what you didn't take out of today was, well, I need to go buy people new gifts because they don't need, no, that's not what I was going after. My whole point was that the greatest gift, the gift that meets, because you can't, as you're giving a gift to your husband, your wife, you probably can't meet all of these things. That'd be too tall of a task. But when you think about the ultimate gift, the gift that matters above all others, and the reason we give gifts, the reason we do these things is because Jesus is the ultimate gift. He meets all of these qualifications. And when you think about the best gift you could have received this year, it's the gift of God's Son. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son. Lord, I think about John chapter 1, about how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you took that perfect relationship, and you sent your Son to this earth to step down out of heaven, to live among us, to give us grace and truth. Today, we came here, a body of believers, the church at Port Crane, and we collectively, as a group of Christians, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift that this world had been waiting for. We, like a bride saying thank you to her husband who's given her a diamond ring, say thank you. We say thank you for the gift that we needed. We thank you for your salvation that we use every day. We thank you for the desire of your Son. And we say we'd rather have Jesus than anything. We say thank you for giving what we'd asked for. We thank you for loving us and sending your Son. And we thank you for the price that you paid on Calvary. And together, Lord, we say thank you. Help us to worship you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.